into the prophetic ministry. Josiah is the king at the time. He is trying to do his best to bring a righteous kingdom. He is following two very unrighteous kings, following what they have left of the nation of Israel. And what has transpired here is that eventually Israel is going to go into captivity. And Jeremiah is what we would call a very unpopular prophet. And on top of that, he's a young man. And he is struggling with the fact of speaking to the nation of Israel, because how many knows who wants to hear when you're wrong? Amen? And this is only follow suit. I mean, if you study out the Old Testament, you look through the natural history of Israel, you know, I know, that Israel was a nation that constantly wandered away from God and served idols. I mean, that's the story, right? It's not complicated. When you look at Israel, you see that God chose them as a nation. He said, the reason I chose you is because you were the smallest. And He chose them because He chose them, began with Abraham, and took a man who came out of an idol worship family, and he was a righteous man in the midst of idolatry. And God came to Abraham, spoke to him, and said, I'm going to make you the father of this nation of people that is going to be more than the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. And Abraham said, gotcha, let's go. He said, I need you to leave your family, leave your land, and go into a land that you've never been into before. So Abraham left and began the journey. His name was not Abraham at first, it was Abram, because his nature had not been completely changed yet. But that's where the nation of Israel began, was through Abraham. Abraham made many mistakes, but he still ended up doing the will of the Father. Israel was born, and the nation of Israel was born out of the sons of Israel. And that nation began to spring forth and went through many things. God brought His laws through Moses eventually, and those laws are righteous. Look at somebody right now and tell them, the laws of God are righteous. But it's impossible to fulfill those laws if the righteousness of the law is not in you. Now, I want you to hear that. You're going to have to listen to catch it. You can have the laws of God, but not have the righteousness of the law in you. And if you do not have the righteousness of the law in you, it's difficult to fulfill that law. Because how you're going to look at the laws of God, you're going to look at it as a form of condemnation. When you look at the laws and you read the Ten Commandments, as you're going down, you're going, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I'm about ready to do that. How many, here's what I'm saying to you. And you look at the laws of God, and especially if you're reading through the Old Testament, how many knows it's a heavy revy. It's something, man, when you're going through it, you're looking at it, and you're thinking, wow. The Old Testament was a depressing place at times. How many knows what I'm saying to you? But if you're reading and you're seeing, you can see the great mercy of God. There were times where that God wanted to destroy Israel, but He didn't, because He wanted to preserve them. He wanted to raise them out. He always had a remnant of people that was in the midst of them. And I want you just to follow with me here, because it's important for you to understand the background of where we're going today, because this is what God spoke to me. I don't have anything big for you today. I just have something simple. And if you'll let me give it to you and you'll just stay with me for the next 25, 30 minutes, I want to give you something that you can walk out of here and have some understanding that God wants for your life. Amen? And so here, as God gave the laws to them, the question always begs itself is, why is it that Israel could not behave themselves? You know, at first they went into the promised land. They began to make friends with the people that was there. And then it wasn't enough. God said, look, when you go into the land, don't begin to marry them. Why? Because once you begin to marry somebody, once you began that soul tie, how many knows that if that righteousness is not on the inside of you, if you're not established on the inside, then you're going to compromise towards the end of that. So many of the Israelites began to marry those individuals who were heathen, who were idol worshipers, and all of a sudden there began to be a mix into the children of Israel. That's what happens, man. See, that's what happens when you think, well, I'm a believer, and then you marry somebody who's not a believer, and you are hoping. Because all women have one thing in common. How many want to know what it is? Amen? That is, I can change him. Come on, ladies. You might as well say amen. You know it. You look at him, and he looked like, you know, an old log with lumps all over it. They didn't have any more hope of anything. When Pastor Karen got a hold of me, I was just a street kid, just barely saved. And when I say barely saved, I mean barely saved. Are you hearing me? The only thing I knew was I was saved. I didn't know why I was saved or what God was going to do with me, but I was saved. Came straight from the streets and met her shortly about a year after I got saved. And in her mind, she thought, I'm going to change that man because I'm going to make him into the image that I want for me. Because I've got an image in my mind, and he looks like pretty good raw material. Can I tell you, she didn't have a clue what she had a hold of. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And so through that marriage, even though that she was righteous and good and loving and kind, how many knows that's not who I was? Man, I was saved, but I wasn't that far from darkness. It wasn't hard for me to look over my shoulder and see some of the things recently that I had done. It wasn't difficult for me to look back at my life. And sometimes when we'd go out, she would find that there was other individuals that I had relationships with that, you know, wanted her to know that I had relationships with them. And so in that context, I wasn't that far, but it was difficult because there was something that was always missing in my life and I didn't know what it was. I was saved. I had the Holy Spirit that was living within me, but I didn't know how to yield to him. I didn't know how to give my life over to him completely. It took a period of time because how many knows that it's a process God's got us walking through? How many know there's not very many people. There's a few people that grab a hold of this thing immediately and they just walk it out and it's wonderful. Are you listening to me? I mean, it's cool. But how many knows a lot of us, we ain't that way. Amen. We rough-hewn, we ignorant, we don't know a whole lot, and we got to make a lot of mistakes before, you know, we doing it right. How many knows? How many do I got some repeater offenders in here? And I'm not talking about the law. This is not a court. Amen. See, I mean, I want all the repeater individuals who repeated and made mistakes, raise your hand. Say, Pastor, look around. Now, you'll see those who are righteous who are not lifting their hands right now. They are the ones that we are praying for. Amen? Amen? A lot of repeaters in here, isn't it? Because how many has made a lot of mistakes? But can I tell you something today is this. God's not worried about your mistakes. I said God's not worried about your mistakes. The reason why God's not worried about your mistakes is because he's got you. I said he's got you. Turn to somebody and tell them, God's got you. See, what we don't realize is that we're trying to be something that we can't be. What we need to do is let him be what he is in us. And when you get a hold of that revelation, when you get a hold of that understanding, your life as a believer is going to change. When you keep thinking about what you have to give up and how your life has got to change. Because if I begin to live my life completely like the Lord wants to, I've got to give up this, I've got to give up that, I've got to stop doing this, I've got to stop doing that. And I've got a clue for you today. You don't got to stop anything. What you have to do is come to him and let him deal with you about it. The church is not the place to where that we are the clothes police. We're not the attitude police. What we are is we're a place that all of us can come together and we can manifest the presence of God. We can manifest the forgiveness of God. We can manifest that God is able to change your life. God didn't call me to change your life. God didn't call me to be the Holy Spirit in your life. What God told me to do is proclaim the kingdom, let you see the kingdom here and in my life, that where you want that change in your own life. Amen? See, that's the whole thing. That, the whole thing lies right there. And so you have to understand something. Israel always was going after the idols. God here kind of comes. I think it's a very poignant scripture here. And Jeremiah tells us here in verse 13. And he kind of describes to you the people of Israel. He said, for my people have committed two evils. Look what he says here. My people have committed two evils. Forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Amen? I want you to circle the word, the two words there, forsaken me. And then circle the words, fountains of living water. Everybody say fountains of living water. Closely associated with the scriptures in John, where Jesus said at the temple, when they were going through the ritual, and Jesus said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. So he said, fountains of living water. That word fountain there means artesian. That means water that is constant flowing. Amen. How many knows that's the difference between, and look at the next thing he says here, fountains of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, what he's talking about here is this. He's talking about in the day in the desert, water was something that was valuable. And what they would do is they would dig into the ground and they would dig into stone and they would hew it out and they would hew the stone out so that it could hold water. That would be rainwater or water that was run off from the ground. That doesn't mean clear water. It's not spring water. It would be muddy water. It would be water that there would be bugs in it, snakes in it. Y'all aren't hearing me today. Amen. What it basically was a mud puddle. But it was water that they used to feed their animals and sometimes if they had enough to water their gardens. But this was stale water, water left there. You wouldn't drink that water unless you absolutely had to. And he said, not only were these that were hewn, he said, you chose. Now listen, what he said is right here. He said, you're choosing broken cisterns. Things that you have to work for. Things that you have to dig out for yourself. You would rather go someplace and find something that is muddy and stale when you have me who is living water, who's always flowing, who's always refreshing. He said, you've forsaken me for something. And we think to ourselves, why would anybody do that? See, we always think, why would somebody prefer that above God, right? How many's ever thought that before? Why would we, and haven't you wondered that about yourself? You know, especially when you've done something and you make that famous statement to yourself, man, how stupid can you be? Why would I do that? Why would I say that? You know, why would I punch them in the face that hard? You know, why would I yell that out at the window as I'm going by them? Why did I make that unnice gesture to my neighbor? Why did I say that to my wife? Why did I say that to my husband? Why do I keep making the same mistake? Well, I want you to understand something and look at somebody and say, because we don't know. Because we don't know yet. See, you can know about but not have the knowledge of. I want you to say that with me. We can have knowledge about. How many knows President Obama? How many knows about President Obama? Lift your hand. Jesus, he's the President of the United States. Little black man, sets up in D.C. How many knows who I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you now know who I'm talking about. President Obama. But how many knows of him? How many knows him personally? Nobody's going to raise your hand if you are. We need to talk to you because we need some money right next door. How many here? He seems to be handing out some. He could hand out some over here. But how many knows there's a difference in knowing about somebody and knowing somebody personally? You could know about President Obama, but I can guarantee you right now, there's nobody here that has his personal cell phone. And I bet you dollars to donuts that if you showed up at the door of the White House and said, I want to see Barack, there would be some big men with guns that would cart you away and put you in prison. Knowing about somebody is different than knowing them. Here is the problem that was with Israel constantly. The reason why they kept going to broken cisterns is because they didn't know God. That was the whole issue. Let me explain it to you. Turn with me to the book of Romans today. Are you with me a little bit? Maybe we'll preach today. Maybe we won't. We'll see. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you want an explanation, read Romans chapter 7, the Amplified Version. Right there will explain your whole life as a believer. Here, the very thing that you want to do. You want to live righteously. You want to do the right things, but you find yourself doing the wrong thing all the time. Amen? And Paul explains it to us here in Romans 7. He said the reason why is because of the body of sin. The problem is like I said the other day, is your spirit is perfect. Your spirit man is perfect. Your spirit man is perfect. Do you understand me, Taylor? Your spirit is perfect. There's nothing wrong because the Spirit of God lives in you and it's perfect. But the problem is that, Nisi, our mind is not perfect. That's right, Russell, our mind is not perfect. Is your mind perfect, brother? Well, if anybody's mind should be perfect, Russell's mind should be perfect. Because he's a good man. But even Russell sitting here telling us, look, my mind's not perfect. There's not everything in my mind, my thoughts. Because even if he didn't stand here, if we would take his thoughts and we were able to project them up on the screens here. How many would love to have your thoughts broadcast up on the screen to my right and left? Raise your hand. Shout amen. Nobody. Right? Because, you know, some of you are having bad thoughts about me. You definitely don't want them up on the screen right now, right? Why is that? Because your mind hasn't been fully renewed. Because your mind has thoughts that come along and they control you and you give in to those thoughts in your life. Why? Because your mind has not been renewed by the Word of God. You see, here was the problem. Look with me here in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ. Everybody say in Christ. In Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. What makes me free? What makes me free? Amen. I know you have different versions, but what makes me free? It is what? Christ. In Christ. The law of the Spirit that is in Christ. When I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, I am free. Do I always believe I'm free? No, I don't believe I'm always free because I don't always act like I'm free. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. I know that's what the Bible says, Pastor, but why is it? Well, here, he tells us in verse 3. He said, for what the law could not do. The law was not bad. Amen. Thou shalt not kill. Is that bad? Is that a bad law? Amen. Come on, help me now. Work with me. Thou shalt not kill. Is that a bad law? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Is that a bad law? Amen. I don't have my glasses on because I can't see if somebody said, no, I don't see no problem. So if you're saying that, I can't see it. So don't worry. That's not a bad law, is it? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Are those bad laws? No, they're not bad laws. But the problem was this, is that they had the law, but the law was not in them. Look what it says here in verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. That is, that no matter how much they had the law, no matter how much, okay, do you ever speed? Aaron, do you speed? You speed sometimes. You drive? You don't drive, do you? You don't drive. So you're the wrong person I'm talking to. Lewis, do you speed? You speed sometimes. So the speed limit says 35, but sometimes if somebody looked down at your speedometer, you'd be doing 45. You know that's against the law, don't you, Lewis? Amen? We have a video of Lewis speeding right now on the screen. And we also have an admittance of him breaking the law. He knows it's against the law, don't you, Lewis? Pardon? You only did it once and got a ticket once because of it. So, and that's another important point here. So you got a ticket. Let me ask you something, Lewis. Do you still speed even though you got a ticket?
No, not much.
So that would be an affirmative, or it would be a big fat yes. How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, there's a lot of things that we do that knows and the law says that we shouldn't do it, but we do it, don't we? Guess what? There are people all over this country today that are doing drugs, that are doing alcohol, that are breaking laws even as we talk right now. But even though the law says that they're not supposed to, they're still going to do it. Why? Because the law is there, but it's weak because it's not in you. And if it is not in you and the righteousness of the law is not in you, then you cannot keep that law. It's impossible to keep the law. That's why Jesus cannot just be viewed as a teacher. When you look at the teachings of Jesus and you see the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5, if you look at it as Jesus being a good teacher and good ideals, these are lofty ideals that we should all live by. How many knows that the Beatitudes are lofty ideals that we as a people should live by? But let me tell you something. Unless you know the person who created those Beatitudes, unless you know the heart of the individual, it's going to be impossible to be able to fulfill those Beatitudes. But if the one who wrote them, the one who lived them, lives on the inside of you, then you're no longer looking at them as a teacher telling you, but as the Savior of the world, living on the inside of you, telling you, I will live these things through you. Wow! That's the difference. The difference is, no matter what the law says, it's not going to keep us from breaking the law. Amen? How many knows that's true? So no matter how many laws they had, and then when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came along, man, they created another 800. Woo! I'd like to live in that religion. That was always the problem with them and Jesus, because they were always bringing up their laws about the laws that Jesus was bringing. Why don't you wash your hands? Why do you allow your disciples to eat on the Sabbath day? Because we're hungry. And I'm the one who made the wheat anyways. Thank you very much. That wasn't Jesus' attitude, but I'm just telling you that they were always consumed with it. You see, the problem is that you can be consumed with church. You can be in church. I said, you can be in church. I said, you can be in church, but the person who died for the church may not be in you. And if you're here, church don't make sense. See, the cross don't make sense. Being a Christian seems to be weak, seems to be lame. The gospel and serving God seems to be foolish. It doesn't make sense. It's only for weak people. It's only for people who don't want anything better. But I'm here to tell you today is this, is that church will seem futile. It will seem silly. It'll seem foolish. The cross will seem that way. Until you get Jesus on the inside of you. Until you allow the Holy Spirit to get on the inside of you. And once He lives on the inside of you, all of a sudden your view, your vision becomes change. Yes. Amen? Yes. This is where we're going. We're going to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So how many sees it here in verse 3? Did you get it? How many got it today? Raise your hand and say amen. He said, for it was weak through the flesh. God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. There had to be somebody who could come along. I couldn't do it. We know Lewis couldn't do it because Lewis is a lawbreaker. So he couldn't die for us. He ain't righteous about the law. Right? And Aaron, even though he can't drive yet, he can't die for us because if he was. See, I even asked him. He doesn't drive and he was willing to break the law to speed a little bit. See, it's in all of us. Yeah, exactly. But you're still a lawbreaker. How many hears what I'm saying? See, that nature's within all of us. See, you can't change by yourself. No matter how much I wanted to change, no matter how many bad things I did, you would not even imagine the darkness that I lived in. You have no idea. You have no idea. There are things that I'll never mention to another human being. Never. I can't. They've only been spoken to God. But I can tell you this. That's why I can stand here and tell you that before the cross, before Jesus Christ, before Christ came in, before the Holy Spirit filled my life, I can tell you right now that religion and the gospel seemed foolish to me. It was only for weaklings. It was only for people who really just needed a crutch. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If this is a crutch, then let me have a wheelchair. Because it's the best ride I've ever been on. And it's the biggest high I've ever been on. See, some of you haven't even experienced the presence of God like God wants you to. So I understand. That's why I keep trying to encourage you. Man, until you allow yourself to be saturated with the Spirit of God, worship won't make sense to you. But it's okay, because you know what? One of these days you're going to be, you know my theory. My theory is that I'm just a big old muddy riverbank. You keep hanging around me, you're going to slip in one of these times. Amen? Because my belief system is this. God wants us to be enthused about the kingdom, and he wants the kingdom to live on the inside of us, and he wants the reality of that. Look, it's time to stop talking about it and stop demonstrating the kingdom of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. Look here with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Are you learning anything today? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. So here in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 13, we said, and this is where we are. I don't know how much time I have, but it's all good. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. Amen. Verse 13, in whom also, in whom ye, you, also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. That the gospel of your salvation, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What was the word of truth? What is the gospel of your salvation? It's the good news. What is news? It's something that's already happened. Amen? Salvation's already transpired. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we realized last week that word sealed there is the word signet. We know that we have to go over, it's mentioned twice in the book of Ephesians. The other one here is mentioned over here in the other chapter. In verse 30 of chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the word here, sealed, is for what purpose? Well, it meant that when you were sealed, and they used the word signet, and it was put onto a contract. It was a big ring that they would put in hot wax, and your image was put on that contract, that it was signed, and that property belonged to you. What God is saying here is that through the Holy Spirit, that God has sealed your life. That is, that no matter who may come and say, you're not saved, you really don't have that life in you, they cannot, because the Holy Spirit has sealed your life. He's not just talking about people. He's talking about your adversary, the devil, that may come. That's why some of you that falter back and forth and you struggle with your relationship and walking your life out as a believer, you need to understand that when you have the revelation of knowing the Holy Spirit has sealed your life, and that when the enemy comes to you and says, you ain't no more saved than the man of the moon. And I know you're not saved because you've got those evil thoughts. What you can do is take him to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 and declare to him, no, you're wrong. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and I belong to God now. I don't belong to you. Even though he may come back and try to reclaim his property. So last week I didn't have the opportunity to show you this. But my beautiful sister, Sister Rachel, made this for me. And what I was trying to explain to you is that we don't do this nowadays. We can differently. But I wanted her to take something nice and red. Amen? Red like the blood of Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me right here. And what God did is that God poured himself into you. He poured you out, but he poured him inside of you. This is God on the inside of you. So what he did is he didn't just live it there. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to preserve, I'm going to seal you. So what he did is this, is that second word is this right here. It's the same thing. is sealed. Oh, Jesus, please stay in there. This is paraffin. And what you have to do to make it work. Now, you can see right here how hard that is. So when Miss Rachel made this, and she made it, and she poured the wax in there, what it did is it sealed all the way around that jar. What for? Because there's going to be a day come to where I'm going to take this home and I'm going to pop this paraffin off of here. And no matter whether that is next week or a year from now or 2 years from now, guess what? Because it's been sealed and the fruit of it on the inside has been sealed, when I put my two big old fingers down into that jam and I stick my fingers up there and I put them in my mouth, guess what? It's going to be as sweet, it's going to be as pure, it's going to be as righteous as the day that it was sealed. And that's what God wants you to know today. That's what God wants you to have the hope of. That you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and that nothing is going to take that away from you. See, He's given you everything. Look with me, if you will, into the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, real quick. 2 Peter, verse 1. God knew that you couldn't do it by yourself. God knew that you didn't have the power alone. Thank you, Miss Rachel. You are a blessing. I'm so tempted to pop that right now, stick my fingers in there. Look what it says here in verse 3. According as His divine power hath given us unto what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him. That word knowledge means a full knowledge. It means full understanding. It means a knowledge, not about, but that you have a full understanding of it. So He has given you all power. He's given you all power. Look what it says. Given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians. So what has He done, Pastor? He has given me the power that pertains unto life and godliness. You keep trying to live it. You can't live it. You keep trying to be good enough. You can't be good enough. Are you listening to me? And look what He says here in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians in verse 3. He said, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, you keep trying to do it. You keep trying to live it. Amen? You can't do it. You've got to let Him do it in you. How? Because you've got to get a knowledge of Him who lives within you. See, you have to acquire Him. You've got to know Him. See, you've got to know who lives on the inside of you. You've got to know God. And the only way you can know God is you have to know Him through the Word of God. And the only way you can really know Him is He who wrote this Word. And that was the Spirit of God who inspired men to write the Word of God. Are you listening to me? It is these men who wrote the Word of God because the Holy Spirit spoke to them. So what is the most important thing besides the Savior that I need to engage in my life? It is the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to get to know Him because He will teach me the Word of God. And if I know the Word of God, I know who He is. And if I know who He is, I know what I have. And I have the confidence because what's on the inside of me. See, when you know God, you won't have the fear of death. Some of you do. Some of you have a fear of death. I don't, because I used to have it. That's right. You can be a Christian and have a fear of death. That's why some of these guys preach these silly doctrines, because they're terrified of death. So they want to stay here on this earth. Not me, baby. Amen? I have a retirement place. It's not here. Are you hearing me? When I retire, when you see me retire, it's going to be because that I must be with the Lord. But the only reason I'm here right now is because it's expedient for me to be here with you. It's more expedient for me to be here with you than it is to be there. And plus, God don't need another flower in His garden. Hello. Please. God don't take people. Amen? That's free. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So look with me as I finish this thought. I only got a couple more minutes here. So in Ephesians, what does he want us to know? In verse 14, which is the earnest, that is the down payment. The Holy Spirit is only a down payment, a tenth. It's a earnest money to tell you. God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, a promise of the promise of the fulfillment, what's on the inside here. See, this is no good, Gary. It's pretty. Isn't this beautiful? Didn't Miss Rachel do a beautiful job? How many want some of this? Come on, raise your hand if you want some of that. Well, you ain't getting none of it. It's mine. Isn't that beautiful? But what good is it if it's just taken and it's set on a shelf? Oh, isn't that lovely? Let's give Miss Rachel a blue ribbon. You know what she wants? She wants someone to unscrew that. Amen. She wants someone to pop that paraffin. She wants to put that on a hot biscuit with butter. She wants me to see her the following Sunday. She said, ooh, girl. That was righteous. It's no good if you can't taste it, if you can't use it. Why did he seal you? He didn't just seal you for the day of redemption. He sealed it so you can give it to somebody else. It's no good unless you can share it. Amen? That's the beauty about food. It's so you can share it, really, seriously. So you can share what's been sealed. And the day that you're looking, is that rhubarb? Is that strawberry and rhubarb? Sweet Lord. But you know what? Some people have this great gift on the inside of them, and they never pop anything to taste it, to experience it, to give it. That's really what it's all about. I don't want to go any further because it's too much word to try to explain in just a couple minutes. Just remember, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's put something precious. Do you hear me? Joey's put something precious on the inside of us, man. Something that has, that's precious, that's made with love. He gave his life, his rich red blood, placed it on the inside of us, and then sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Not for a day that is in heaven, Andrew, but so that we can take this one day and we can give it to somebody else. Somebody else, Tasha, that's in need. Isn't that really what our life is all about? Is so we can give to somebody else? Right, Nicole? Right, Mary? I mean, what good is it if we can't take what we have and give it to nobody else? What good is it? That's what it's all about, Ricky. That's what it's all about. It's about, at least, taking this and, you know what, going along and finding somebody who's hungry. Somebody like Michael who needs just a refreshing love, somebody to be friends with. And you just say, Michael, I don't have anything else, but what I have, I'm going to give you. Amen? And so you give them love. You give them Jesus. And you make a difference in their life. You see what I'm saying? You have a great gift on the inside of you. And God wants you to know that. He wants you to know what you have on the inside of you. And even though people have told you that you have nothing, that you have nothing, that you are nobody, that you have nothing to give the world. And some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to take the precious thing on the inside of you and you're going to give it away to somebody who's not going to value it. And your hope is always going to be deferred. And I'm telling you today, wait, because the right time's coming. Amen. Do you hear me? Right now, God is telling us, open up the gift. It's there, Edgar. Amazing what God has poured. This guy right here, amazing what God has poured into this man. Many of you don't know this man right here, but the wisdom, the love, the compassion that's inside of Edgar. Right here is a man who is called. God's poured his precious gift on the inside of him. And the enemy has done everything he can to take that from Edgar. But he keeps hoping and believing that God's word and these promises are true. Isn't that right, Edgar? Are you listening to me today? God gave me a word the other day. And all the Spanish people that are here, God just released me to give that word. So if you need a translator, you need to lean over. You need to whisper. If you don't understand English, I want you to hear something today. The Lord spoke this word to me, to many of the Spanish people that are in our church. And God said, I want you to tell them this. This is a strong word. Amen? Some of you who are English, you are not going to understand this. But here's the word. God said, I'm not your patron. I'm your pastor. The word patron means boss. It means jefe. It means somebody who's in charge. It means the man who is over. He is the man. He is the boss. He is the guy who's over. That means somebody who's running people. I'm not your patron. I'm your pastor. And the difference between a patron and a pastor is this. A patron always looks for profit. I don't look for profit. I look to feed and to heal and to minister. And God said to tell you today is this. That many of you have got to break this thing off of your life to be able to come into the kingdom, to come into a new place in the kingdom, to come into a new place, because there are many who are out in the world that are living in the world right now who are in bondage. Are you listening to me? And we have a lot of hate that is going on in the world today. It's not just black against black, black against white. Hispanic against Hispanic, Hispanic against white, white against white, and white against everyone else. It is a lot of hate and prejudice. But I want you to know today is this, that is not what God has called us to. God has given us a great gift. God has given us a precious gift. And He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And God has called Cornerstone to a place to declare to this world that we're not here to bring men into bondage and to own men's bodies and to own men's lives. You are free men. And I'm here to declare to you, whether the United States has declared that or whether other men has declared that, God wants you to know today that you are free men and free women today. And that God's hand and life is upon you to give you what God has told you to do. I am not your patron. I am your pastor. I am the man that God has called to feed and to minister into your lives. I'm not here to be your boss. I'm not here to rule over your life. You've had too many rulers. The blacks that are here in this church, you need to understand, I am not of that mentality. I'm not here. And the whites who have been abused, all of you, whether you're white or black or brown today that you sit in this house, all of you in one degree or another has been. But we need to raise up a new standard in this house. We need to raise up a new cry in this house that God has called us all to be one in Christ Jesus, and that He has sealed us by His precious Holy Spirit. And by that, God has called us for a holy work and a work to revive this county for Jesus Christ. As long as we stay divided, we'll never see Jesus come and do what He needs to do in Wilkes County. We are not a political system. Do you hear me? What has happened to our America? That we have to blame other people for what we don't have. When God has given us so much. Nobody's taken anything from us. God gave it all to us to begin with. And if it goes, it's because we've let it go out of our hands. Not because of anybody's skin color. Not because somebody came across the border, or not because that people from across the seas were brought here violently. What has happened to us is because we as the church are not being the church, and we have got to stand together. We have got to grasp together hand in hand and declare that God has sealed us, and He sealed us for a holy calling. Quit blaming everyone else for your issues. Quit blaming everyone else for your financial woes. And realize that God is your total source for everything. Are you listening to me? The church will become the church, what it needs to be here at Cornerstone. Not one man, woman, boy, or girl will go without anything they need. Do you hear me? Not one person in this house should go without food or clothing or housing. But we have to grow into the place to where we're a body and not just another group of people. How many will stand with me and say, Pastor, I agree with you today. God's given us something special here at Cornerstone. Come on, stand with me today if you agree. I hope you heard my heart today. I hope you heard my spirit.